Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, David James here with you on this Monday morning. And it is Monday morning at 8 o'clock. And that means we head to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend Corey Curtis to the program from News 2, brought to you by Tennessee Men's Clinic. Corey, good morning. How are you? How are you holding up with all of our winter weather going on out there?
Well, I'm sitting in a parking lot at Starbucks in Cool Springs so that I actually have some Wi-Fi service so I can talk to you. So I'm a little cold, but I'm in a car, so I've got that going for me.
That is a tremendous dedication that you have to our program, and let me tell you, it is noted. I feel very close to you and very warm to you right now.
Okay, that's too much, but all right.
Okay, well, just don't want to make it weird. I'm just telling you, love you.
You keep your Packer love.
Okay, thank you, thank you.
How about those Bears?
Yeah, how about them?
Bears.
So, the Patriots have now punched their ticket to the Super Bowl in Mike Vrabel's first year. You have the Seahawks taking down the Rams last night in a thriller in the NFC title game. Let's start on the Patriots front. I mean, obviously, when you saw that Jarrett Stidham was going to be the quarterback they were going up against, everybody figured they'd probably win the game. It was not pretty, not great from Drake May. That's a great defense that Denver has over there. But now that he's done it, what do you make of this Patriots team with this roster, who I would argue still has some holes, getting through the AFC and punching their ticket to the Super Bowl in Vrabel's first year?
Well, I mean, look, they did what they had to do, and you cannot take away anything from that. You know, you can say they had the easiest schedule in the league, and that's a fact. But you still have to win games. And I think the biggest thing in this game is they didn't lose the game. All right, the Broncos lost the game. Fourth and one, you go for it instead of taking the points, you lost the game. Jarrett Stidham, you know, makes a very Will Levis-like play in the first half and, you know, basically gives the Patriots their only 7 points that they scored, the only touchdown they gave them. He gave the game. And so, you know, what do we know that bad teams do in the NFL? They find ways to lose. And so I think, like, you know, one of the biggest things that Mike Vrabel was able to do was get this team to stop losing games and, you know, then finding ways to win. And so, you know, I think that, you know, the Patriots get a lot of credit because, you know, I don't think Drake May threw an interception in this game, did he? And he was under massive duress, you know, during virtually all of it. So, look, it's not the most dominant path to the Super Bowl of all time, but no one's going to have an asterisk next to it in the NFL record books saying that. They got there. That's what matters. You know, it's a tremendous job by everyone.
Yeah, and like I said earlier, Corey, I mean, the you know, they did have to beat three really good teams to get there. Yes, the last one missing its quarterback and all that stuff. But, you know, those other two wins were very good wins in the playoffs against, you know, anybody in the playoffs is a good football team.
Yeah, and, you know, the one thing I will say, though, is as you look towards the Super Bowl is, you know, what have we seen with that Patriots offense? You know, as they played three good teams in the playoffs, they haven't scored nearly as much. I think they've scored the fewest points of any team to make it to a Super Bowl. But their defense has also stepped up and risen to the occasion. And, you know, defense usually wins a lot in January, and their defense, you know, rose to the occasion. You know, they did have four interceptions against C.J. Stroud. You know, who did they beat in the first round? The Chargers?
That is correct. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they stepped up to the challenge against Justin Herbert. And, you know, they won a football game in a tough environment that, you know, that they needed to win. And so, I think, you know, Vrabel and the defense get a lot of credit. And, you know, May gets credit for, while not maybe making a ton of plays, making enough plays without making the catastrophic mistake. Because that is a huge part of quarterback play, is minimizing damage. You know, we see it all the time. The great ones minimize damage. And, you know, Drake May, for only being in his second year in the league, did a really nice job of minimizing damage for his football team.
I also think weather is a part of their offense struggling more than you expect, and maybe their defense dominating more a little bit. Like, I think we'll probably see in the conditions of the Super Bowl, probably a little bit better offensive play, but also, you know, like, I don't think they're going to be shutting down the Seahawks. So, but that brings me to the question, because I saw a lot of debate on this, Corey. I loved both games yesterday. It was almost like watching two different sports. But I know some people are like, we shouldn't have these huge games and weather that, that completely takes away passing and all this stuff. Where do you come down on football weather?
I am always amazed at the level of execution by professional athletes in adverse conditions. I really am. I mean, I was at the Titans Patriots game in 2004 when it was like negative 13. And to
Oh boy.
watch those, and I didn't even want to be outside. I mean, like the moment I grew up in Chicago, that's the coldest I've ever been. I mean, I step foot outside, I'm like, this is horrible. And to see those guys perform for 3 hours, some guys had frostbite when it was over, was incredible. Look, I've got concerns for fan safety in games like that. I do, because of the extreme cold and the amount of alcohol that's drank and all that stuff. So I do. I have legit medical concerns that you're asking people to be out in those conditions sometimes. But weather's part of it. And the good teams find a way to work through it. And the bad teams and the mentally not as strong teams find a way to let it beat them. And I'm with you, Joe. We had a 3-point game and a 4-point game yesterday. Well, we had two great football games. They looked completely different, and that's okay. That's okay with me.
Corey, what did Sam Darnold show you with his performance yesterday, punching the ticket for the Seahawks and getting to the Super Bowl?
Well, I mean, I think he showed he's that guy. I mean, three touchdowns, no interceptions. He finished drives, made tight window throws. There was no choking in the big moment. There was no, none of the moment being too big for him. He was outstanding, and he's just proof that some guys just take some time, and he just took some time. And also, by the way, having good coaching and a good team around him helped too. But the Seahawks didn't pull him along. It was a big part of that victory. He was really, really, really good. And so, Sam Darnold, looks like he's going to be one of those guys in the league for years to come.
So, does his performance this year, first of all, obviously you look at the Vikings and say, man. Now, the Vikings, to be fair to them, they had drafted McCarthy before they realized, right? Like, I guess what Sam Darnold was, but they did get to see him all last year and let
Well,
him go.
you could have
But
re-signed him. I mean, you had him under contract. You could have
yeah,
re-signed
no,
him. I'm sure
for
he would
sure, for
have
sure.
stayed.
But if he wins it, Corey, and I think it's already going this way, but like, do we see a little bit more of a shift, even in teams being like, okay, everybody keeps, obviously you have someone you love in the draft, you draft and you have the rookie contract, all that stuff. That's not going to end, but maybe a little bit more of teams searching for the next example of that, the next Baker, the next Darnold, the next, like a lot of guys that we've seen recently who get discarded and then end up actually being good players.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think you're going to see more quarterbacks get another look, that's for sure. And I think not that they'll get a pass, but I think you'll see more times. Like, somebody's going to look at Will Levis in a couple of years. They're going to say, was he just too young? Was he just not ready? Did he just need more coaching? Okay, Malik Willis. I expect the Miami Dolphins to make a run at Malik Willis this year. And possibly have him be their quarterback. Do you guys? I mean, from what he has shown, the growth he has shown, we have this expectation of guys to come out and just be starter ready. And if they're not that in their first year, well, then they're a bust. People like to declare that year one, they're a bust. Josh Allen was not Josh Allen year one. All right, Josh Allen was terrible year one. All right, the Bills got him through it and got him to the other side. And so, I think that's the bigger message, is that sometimes you do have to take your lumps with some guys, and you do actually have to surround them with good coaching and good football teams. So I think, you're going to have to be careful in the types of guys you analyze for that. But I certainly think other guys will get a look, but you can't guess. You can't say, well, I think this guy's the next Darnold. But you can watch guys in the preseason, and you can watch guys when they get in and certainly see. But I guess we've seen that for a long time. Robbie, who is that guy from the Packers that got the big deal in Seattle?
That's Matt Flynn.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he was the guy. Yeah, no, but and that's what I was saying. And then there was the guy in Miami who went to Detroit.
Scotty Mitchell.
You know, these guys who flashed and then got big money. So that's what I'm saying. So, you know, you can see one of these guys who show you something later in their careers, but you still have to be – you can't give them the farm because they haven't proved it yet. You know, but you can still give them a shot, and I think you'll see more teams willing to give people a shot.
So, Corey, it looks like the Titans are clearly waiting on Brian Daboll here, who is still up for the Buffalo job, maybe the Raiders job. And they're interviewing Stinovich from Green Bay and Kingsbury today as a part of their search for an offensive coordinator. We've seen Slowick get hired in Miami. Arthur Smith is apparently going to Ohio State, so there's all that going on. What do you make? Let's say this plays out. Let's approach it from both scenarios. Let's say Daboll doesn't end up as a head coach and he's the offensive coordinator. What do you make of that? And let's, you know, on the other side of things, if he does get hired as a head coach, what do you make of the idea of either a Kingsbury or a Stinovich as OC?
Well, I mean, look, Daboll's got some skins on the wall as an OC. So I think, you know, you understand why they want to go that route. And let me just say, if the Buffalo Bills replace a guy who went to the playoffs 8 out of 9 years and averaged like 11 wins a year with a guy who just went 20-40, that's a tough sell. That is a tough sell. But if that's what they want to do, they should go for it. And the Raiders, whatever. I mean, wow. just wow. So, you know, I still think they've got a great chance. I would lean towards him being their offensive coordinator, and I think that that's a strong hire. It also gives Saleh another guy with head coaching experience, which is something that I like. But, you know, as far as the other guys go, you know, Kingsbury has worked with a lot of quarterbacks, but, you know, I think you have to be prepared to be hiring somebody else in a year or two because that's who he is. He doesn't stay anywhere very long.
He does not.
And so you have to be thinking, okay, we're going to hire him for a year or two, but then we're going to be moving on. And I don't know that much about Stinovich. I just don't. So,
well, I don't either. And he's the offensive coordinator of the Packers, but he doesn't call plays. And so how do you really know?
Do I think he has developed Jordan Love, or do I think the head coach has developed Jordan Love? I think it's, you know, Matt LaFleur for sure.
Bobby thinks anybody but LaFleur should get credit.
Okay. Well, you know, I don't think Jordan Love is that great, so you might want to give him the credit. But
hey, real quick on Kingsbury, doesn't he leave because he gets fired at places? I mean, he just got scapegoated in Washington, didn't he?
Yes, he was. Yeah, they were.
Why does he get fired everywhere?
Terrible. But yeah, I mean, he didn't win with Pat Mahomes at Texas Tech. He was 500 there, so you know, it's not like he dominated college football with the most dominant quarterback of our era here in the last 10 years with the NFL.
He was that in college, but yes.
No, we didn't. But he had Cliff Kingsbury as coach.
He's limited by Kingsbury.
Kingsbury said
maybe
he was going to win huge with Kyler Murray, and he didn't. And Kyler's a disappointment at this point. So, you know, he's 0 for Kyler, but does he get the credit for Jaden Daniels' rookie year? Or was Jaden Daniels' rookie year just kind of like a C.J. Stroud rookie year, where it's looking like a flash in the pan?
Corey, last thing for you real quickly. What do you make of Arthur Smith going to college football and being the O.C. for the Ohio State Buckeyes?
You know, I'm really – really, that one was not on my bingo card. I'm trying to figure that one out. You know, I'm sure Ohio State can pay him, and maybe he wants to be a college head coach. Maybe that's what he wants to do. Maybe that's something that's intrigued him, and so he thinks being a college OC is a good path to that. And he might be right. That's the only thing that I can think of, is that he wants to be a college head coach. And if he does, you know, good for him. You know, I think you can safely go from Ohio State back to the NFL, But I don't know if you can go from Ohio State to being a head coach in the NFL. So maybe that's not important to him. But it's an interesting move, that's for sure.
Well, Corey, again, we appreciate, as always, your dedication to our program. Stay safe out there today, the rest of the day, and we will talk to you next week, my friend.
Very good. And, by the way, I am not bitter like some that Mike Vrabel is going to the Super Bowl. I say, you know, he works hard. You know, he's a good football coach, and good for him. But most of all, I'm happy for all the former Titans who are going to the Super Bowl now. Because there's a guy like Harold Landry, who was a really good player here, you know, to get to go to the Super Bowl is great. You know, Jack Gibbons, you know, just a really, you know, hard player, overachiever, good for him. And I know there's more. And so I'm happy for those guys.
Don't forget Stretch. Everybody loves Stretch.
Yeah, of course, Stretch. You know, be on NFL GM sooner rather than later.
That is probably the case. Corey, stay safe, my friend.
That's what Diana Rossini reported, like, brief, you know, when Robinson was still the GM.
That's true. Maybe he just loves Vrabel so much, he's going to stay with Vrabel his whole career.
I would bet on that. I would bet on that, yeah. All right, later, guys.
Corey Curtis, brought to you by Tennessee Men's Clinic, joins us every Monday morning at 8 o'clock here on the program. We will react to what Corey had to say coming up next. Take your thoughts, 615-737-1025, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game.